Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. So pleased because Rebecca Gould, author of The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, subtitle Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You, is my guest for part two. Rebecca was on December 20th, last month, last year. Welcome back to the program, Rebecca. It's so good to have you.
Be back.
Good. And you are also just back from Hawaii. What did you do in Hawaii other than maybe some nice R&R?
Well, I reconnected with some old friends, and I dropped in for one day of the Hawaii Tantra Festival.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, it was a 4-day event, and I decided to only go for one day to see some people I know and to meet Margot Anand, too, who endorsed my book.
Yes, she did. And that was a great endorsement because she's famous.
Yeah. And it was such a pleasure to hear her on that day that I went. She did a long presentation. Like a 2-hour talk, and then she was on a panel, and it was just really wonderful to hear her and to get a chance to meet her in person. And I also went to a conscious touch workshop and volunteered to be the demo person for one part of it. I just wanted to dive right in because I don't want to be there for a day.
Yeah. I want to read for our listeners what she said. Mm-hmm. Margot Anand, who is the founder of Sky Dancing Tantra and the author of The Art of Everyday Ecstasy, a book that I have of hers in my library. It's a wonderful book. So this is what she wrote in your book. In a world where women are constantly faced with pressure to be or look a certain way, the multi-orgasmic diet is like a breath of fresh air. Rebecca provides a playful, pleasurable, and loving approach to what is often full of shame and restriction. The book turns traditional dieting on its head and has the potential to help many women live ecstatic lives. To get her endorsement is really something because she has been famous in this and she's been famous in this field for I bet 30 years now, maybe more.
Yeah It felt like a real honor and pleasure to meet her and witness her in action at the Tantra Festival.
Was she just full of energy and
she was such a delight too. She's such a great storyteller and speaker, and just has such a wonderful heart and perspective on everything. Yeah, it was really wonderful.
So she must have been like the keynote speaker of this Tantra
festival. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yes. So I wanted to announce that if any of you listening to the live show, I know many of you don't. You listen to the archived version. But if any of you listening to the live show, and you even heard the archived or the live show on December 20th, if you have a question for Rebecca Gould about her book, The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, call in 888-874-4888. And Rebecca, I checked in with you about this a while ago, but you're willing to send a free book, and Zach, our wonderful producer, will get the name and address off the air to the first caller
yes,
who has a question. And this is a book, even if you don't call in and you just buy it from Amazon or can they get it off your website, themultiorgasmicdiet.com?
Yeah, right now, the way to get it from my website, it would just refer them over to Amazon. But, yeah, they can go to the multiorgasmicdiet.com or find it on Amazon or Google it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, listeners, if you call in with a question and you are willing to go on the air to ask Rebecca a question, you'll get her book. No charge. And it is a book. It is such a good book. Oh, I love this book.
Thank you. I love it too.
Yeah, I know. And I'm so happy that we have met in person.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just really an incredible woman. Mm. You have character and you're intelligent and you're beautiful and all of those things. And you really embrace all that you write about. You are authentic.
Thank you. I feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I wanted to do. Excellent. So maybe I know we talked about this on the 20th of December, but let's just, for people that didn't hear, what is the multi-orgasmic diet? Kind of an overview.
Yeah, good question, right. And I know some people tuning in today or listening to this later on will not have heard the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So the multi-orgasmic diet is really what I would call a soul food diet. It's not a traditional diet like where you are told what to eat or what not to eat. It's about learning practices, things to do to help women learn how to fill up on the pleasure and pulse of life, to feel more fulfilled by cultivating their sexual energy and sensuality and self-love so that they feel more filled up on this pleasure and vibrancy of life in order to stop using food as a stimulant or to fill a void. And so it's really an alternative approach to dieting where the focus is taken away from food and on really just feeling fulfilled. And it's also not really an orgasm technique book, despite the title multi-orgasmic, that has more to do with the feeling of pleasure, sexual pleasure and vibrancy, even when you're not doing anything overtly sexual.
Yeah, I think it's important to distinguish that, although it gets people's attention.
Yeah,
like,
and you know,
that.
it wasn't like a marketing ploy or anything, but
right.
It definitely does get people's attention. But it really just came through. The title was like multi-orgasmic diet. This book wants to be written, so yeah. I went with it.
And I'm glad you did because it's a book that many people can use, including therapists, because you've got a lot of really good exercises there, and in cognitive behavioral therapy, you need to change certain behaviors, and you've got some excellent ideas for doing that, nurturing your inner child, and dealing with anxiety, and you have a practice of playing with your food. I'm just sort of opening the book sort of randomly, eye-gazing with yourself.
It's been great to hear from you and another therapist, a couple of therapists, you know, that they would recommend this book. You know, it just feels so great to hear that it's viewed as something that would have therapeutic benefit, because I certainly believe that. But, you know, my training is as a coach and not a therapist, so it's really just wonderful to hear you and other therapists receive it that well. Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely true. So, and then let's also review, and you talk about this on page 57 in your book, defining multi-orgasmic. You say orgasm is about energy flow and pleasure, and orgasm is the pulse of life. Hear. Say more a little more about that. Multi-orgasmic aspect.
Right. So, like I was saying, you know, the title, this multi-orgasmic diet, it really came through when I was thinking about how can I live more fully alive? How can I help others live more fully alive? How can I feel the joy of sex and sexually vibrant, even if I'm not with a partner, not being sexually active? And so this term, multi-orgasmic, came through as, like, I want to feel multi-orgasmic all throughout the day, you know, regardless of what I'm doing. And so I was already kind of thinking about that and feeling into that, and then I stumbled upon the book, The Function of the Orgasm, by Wilhelm Reich. And he talks, too, I think we talked about this in the last interview, you know, like
a little bit.
He talks about orgasm as, yeah, like the pulse and pleasure of life. I'm trying to remember exactly how he put it, but I really liked that and ran with it, and just want to myself and help others feel more open to experiencing, like, pleasure and joy more often, without what a lot of women, I believe, feel a lot of pressure around orgasm, the way it's usually defined, you know, like this ultimate, like, climax and, like, must achieve orgasm. And I'm being like, can we just relax and allow pleasure and that energy flow to run through us without thinking it has to feel or look a certain way?
Yeah, a lot. I certainly see it in my clients that many have performance anxiety and pressure.
Yeah.
And it's too bad, because when sex works, when it really works between two people, it creates a bond of immense power.
Yeah.
And I think that in our secular age, sex really is as close as many of us get to transcendence. So it's an amazing thing. It's been my work for 35 years now, and I think I'll stick with it, because it's amazingly satisfying. You know, work like yours, your coaching, your book, and then my work, seeing clients and making a difference in their sex lives.
It's so important. I mean,
it's
sex
so important.
Is what brought us into the world, you know, and
that's right.
And it's this powerful creative force. I just found this note. I actually don't think I worded it like this in my book, but I found a note in my phone that I'd taken, you know, back when I was working on the book, from when I was reading The Function of the Orgasm. And it says here under Reich, orgasm, surrendering into enjoying life. And I just, like, I get chills when I read that. Like, that's really what it's about for me.
So enjoying life.
Yeah, surrendering into it.
Enjoying life. And I have this little handout that I give to my clients. Fire up your love life. It's kind of the best of Dr. Diana. And I end it. It has things like show appreciation, pay attention, and, you know, elaborating on all these things, be adventurous, touch, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I end it by saying, practice emotional surrender by reminding yourself of what you're especially grateful for in your lover. But I would say, in terms of our conversation, grateful for in terms of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, show yourself some gratitude. And a lot of your book helps women do this. And I think men should read your book, too. I mean, it's targeted at women, but most evolved men will want to know what women are thinking and how they can better help them. So I think it's a
book.
Yeah,
I've also heard a lot of men have expressed interest in it, and quite a few men have also already read it. And in addition to giving insight into what's going on for women, there's also that aspect of the feminine in men, and that, you know, feminine or masculine terminology aside, like, there's a lot in this book that actually can be helpful for men for themselves, too, around self-love and feeling more pleasure and cultivating their sexual energy or their vital life force energy.
That's right. And so it's not just about gender, is it? It's
right.
And I think, too, you encourage people to really look at some of their core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that sometimes core beliefs are involved with overeating. Beliefs like, mm-hmm. I'm damaged, I don't deserve this, love is not for me, this will never mm-hmm. work out, goodness is not for me, I'll always be separated from what I love, all this sort of thing. So if you name those beliefs, I think it can be, and so many of your exercises encourage this sort of thing.
Right. You just have to, I think it's just so important to identify and admit to what's really going on inside, you know, like what we're really thinking and believing, and
mm-hmm.
and being able to voice it or at least write it down for ourselves, but not share it with another person.
Yeah.
To just admit to it, because that can release some of the hold that it has over you.
Mm-hmm. And the hold would be that for some women, it keeps them sort of acting these beliefs out and punishing mm-hmm. themselves with food. So I really think that food can be a doorway to understanding oneself. And yes, so that actually is a good lead-in to a question that mm-hmm. we didn't really talk that much about in the last show, and that is, what struggles did you face in implementing your own multi-orgasmic diet, and what advice do you have for women to help them avoid the possible struggles they might face by following the advice and practices in your book? A big question, but important. So tell us, please.
All right. So starting with what struggles I faced in implementing my own multi-orgasmic diet, right?
Yeah, because your advice is quite personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there were struggles in my life that, you know, led to me wanting to help other women writing this book, you know, and mm-hmm. and helping myself, too. And in terms of implementing this stuff into my own life, I mean, while I wrote the book, some of my own stuff came up to the surface, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd be writing about cravings, and I'd start to get a craving, so then I'd think, okay, well, you know, I can take my own advice and go for a walk or go in the other room and, you know, masturbate or go eye gaze in the mirror or whatever and kind of experiment for myself, like be a guinea pig with if it worked. And what I found was that it did work, you know, when I would have a craving for something like ice cream or pizza, you know, and if I then went for a walk and I really engaged my senses, like I just let everything around me delight me, but after that walk, I either didn't want the thing or I'd still want it, but I wouldn't feel guilty about eating it because I already felt good, you know, and I wouldn't eat as much of it either. So it just shifted, you know, my consciousness and my way of feeling around what I was eating and the choices I made about what I was eating or how much I was eating or even how I felt about what I ate. So,
and so because at one time I've met with you and I know you're petite, but there was a time in your life when you weighed more, and and so do you want to talk about that some? Because I mean, you really put this, you put all of this into practice.
Yeah, and I do share in the book, you know, that about mm-hmm. my history with being overweight. So I mean, a lot of my struggles in my own life earlier on in life definitely led into, you know, writing this book and living the way that I live now. You know, when I was a little girl, I was very overweight and experienced a lot of teasing and rejection and and isolation too, because I would just, you know, like go home and like sit on the couch and eat junk food. And I mean, I even look back at pictures and think, oh, there was a time when kids were telling me I was fat, and actually I really wasn't, but I kept hearing it. So then I started to engage in this behavior that then resulted in me gaining more weight. And you know, eventually, yeah, I lost weight, I got into better shape and started eating healthier and being more active. But for years, yeah, weight was a struggle for me at a very early age. And then, and then as a teenager, I was in a nearly fatal car accident. So, you know, I had a bunch of scars and injuries and, you know, so more like body image stuff coming up for me all throughout adolescence. So it's been a big part of my life from the beginning, you know, thinking about weight and food and body image and appearance, and trying to learn how to not only be healthier, but like physically, but also healthier in terms of how I think and feel about myself, loving and accepting myself and moving through challenges and overcoming things. So, yeah, I've done a lot of personal work and love sharing that with, like, helping other people get through struggles too.
Yes, you have. It's clear you've done a lot of personal work, and so many women who are trying to lose weight believe that somehow if you hate yourself enough, you'll love yourself. Or
right.
If you torture yourself enough, you'll become a peaceful, relaxed human being. And truly, it's more about kindness, and this is what you've discovered, not hatred. Kindness is the answer. The shape of your body really does obey the shape of your beliefs about love, value, and possibility. And you found this on your own with lots of personal work.
Right. And, you know, even after losing weight, you know, and becoming, as you put it, petite, you know, I laughed when you used that word, because for so many years, you know, like, I thought of myself as being overweight. So I even still am like, oh, yeah, I am petite, you know, like, I have to be reminded sometimes that I am petite. And but even, like, regardless of being smaller or slimmer, there's still been issues on and off over the years with turning to food in an unhealthy way, like emotional eating, you know, using food to fill a void or numb out, or, you know, if I felt lonely or, you know, so that was something that I needed to, I felt like I wanted to keep an eye on for myself and figure out ways to approach it in a healthy way, yeah, not out of like shaming or feeling guilty, but more like, okay, well, what is it that I really want to feel when I'm eating that way? And like, how can I feel that way in a way that doesn't involve turning to food or yeah, just how can I feel good in a healthy way? Yeah.
So let me just say to any of you listening live to this program, a reminder that if you have a question for Rebecca Gould, author of The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You, you can receive a copy of her book. She'll send it to you. So I suppose we would even take a question that if you don't have quite the courage to go on the air, although you're totally anonymous, because you can even use a false name, and radio is intimate yet anonymous. So if you want to call in, 888-874-4888, and Zach will take your call. So either with an off-the-air or an on-the-air question. The best thing, if would be to get her book. It is just filled with all sorts of wisdom. And it's, Rebecca, you're such also such an excellent writer.
Oh, thank you, Diana.
You're welcome. It's the truth.
And, I like the truth.
Yeah, I know you do. I just happened to open in your book. I just randomly opened The Sacred Truth About Love, The Sacred Truth About Sex on page 88. Mm. And you quote, I guess, some Chinese, Shen Xing. How do you pronounce that?
Sheng Zhen.
Yeah, Zhen teaching.
Sheng Zhen.
Yeah, Sheng Zhen. Yeah. And encourage people to relax and enjoy life and its practices, remove the stress, which weakens sexual energy.
Yeah.
You've brought together all sorts of wisdom.
Yeah. Well, that Sheng Zhen, you know, it's the Qigong that I practice and teach, and it literally means sacred truth. The word Sheng Zhen, Sheng means sacred, Zhen or ultimate, and Zhen means truth. And it's further defined to mean unconditional love. And that was my main focus for years, this heart-opening Qigong all about love and opening the heart. And so then when I started to learn about conscious sexuality and Tantra, sacred sexuality, it really made sense to me that they go together, that, you know, having an open heart and cultivating your chi, your vital life force energy, goes hand in hand with cultivating your sexual energy and sexual vibrancy. And so I was really happy to be able to put that into this book, too.
Well, as I said earlier, there's so much here. You can learn so much, and you've brought together some ancient wisdom, as well as some more current wisdom. So, what's that?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, good. Okay, we have a caller, and let's put Nicole from Brooklyn on the line. Welcome to the program, Nicole. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, so what is your question?
Well, my question concerns energy. Now, I've kind of feel like I've been in a rut sexually, and my partner seems to take it really, really personally. And I'm trying to be more communicative to him and telling him it's not him, but I even went as far as to say it's the double income, no sex thing that I hear you talk about, Diane.
That's right, D-I-N-S, double income, no sex.
Yes, and I guess my question would be, what would be your go-to herbs or your go-to foods that help enrich an energy and get me to that place of where I always feel happy and frisky and glad to be myself? Because I feel like I'm so, like, I feel like a mom. Not to put moms down, but I feel like I'm in that repetitive state, work, go home, and there's no me time. What could help me get there?
Oh, Nicole, very good question. So, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Foods, herbs, and Nicole, stay on the line because this could be interactive.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a great, great question. And it actually makes me think of, I mean, I definitely want to share some of my own perspective on it, but I do want to let you know that there's another book out there specifically having to do with nutrition, things to eat and things to avoid for helping with libido and orgasm. So that book is actually called The Orgasmic Diet. My book doesn't even talk very much about specific foods to use or avoid, but I did want to tell you about that other book. And then just in terms of in general with feeling more energy and feeling happier and what kind of foods can help with that, it's really an individual thing. So it's hard for me to just tell you point blank like what to eat and what not to eat, but one thing that's just coming up right now as just a pretty general thing is even just making sure you're hydrated enough. Like, you know, what's your water intake in the day? Are you drinking enough water? Because that can actually have a lot to do with how energized or not energized we are.
Uh-huh.
So that would be one thing to think about. And then, you know, just some other general things around food is, you know, usually processed foods versus whole foods. Like, it's good to eat whole foods and to reduce sugar and processed foods. So, I mean, maybe if you'd want to tell me a little bit more about your diet, or I don't know if Diana has anything to weigh in on that.
No, I'm leaving this to you, especially about the diet. And so, I would say, Nicole, go ahead and tell her a little bit more. Tell Rebecca a little bit more about your personal situation.
I do drink a lot. I've been drinking a lot of tea recently. I'm kind of slacked off on the water, but that's really only been about maybe, I'd say, a week or so. It's been really excellent. But
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Huh?
Nicole, you're fading out a little bit. Maybe you're on a cell phone.
Oh. Yes, I am on a cell phone. Can you hear me now?
Try to stay in a place.
I heard you say that you were drinking a lot of tea. Is that right? But not a lot of water.
Yes, I've been drinking a lot of tea recently. Water. I'm pretty okay with water, but I did want to mention. Not for any vegans out there listening, but I did go vegan about a year ago, which was when my partner realized that I was kind of slowing up on my energy.
That's
a theory. That's a theory that he has.
Well, you know, that actually brings up for me the idea of what kind of oils you might be needing to supplement with. Like getting some vegan omegas. Have you heard about any kind of supplement to take to make sure that you're getting the fat, the healthy fats that you need?
Okay, well, I've been loading up on my vegetables. I've been loading up on nuts. And not so much lentils. I've been slacking on my lentils. And no, I do not take any vegan omegas, which I really have to get on. And you just reminded me.
Yeah, that could be helpful. And then just to know too, I mean, I'm familiar too with transitioning to a vegan diet, and that's a huge change, especially after if for years you weren't vegan. So some of it really just might be a time of adapting to this new diet and figuring out what works for you and what doesn't, what foods you need more of, what you need less of, how often to eat throughout the day. It's really, you know, an experimental kind of thing. But in general, just in terms of energy, feeling energized and happy, like I was saying, the basics really are, you know, having sufficient hydration, eating more whole foods, and eating more, I'd say eating more like leafy greens. That's really the basics of it without getting into like a detailed health history with you, you know, some general advice. And a lot of people out there would say that keeping a food journal, like a food diary, can help troubleshoot, like figure out what might be going on.
Okay. I do realize that sometimes on certain days I've had something for breakfast, something for lunch, and something, or not even anything for dinner, and I just feel super, super energized. And a journal would really help pinpoint what am I eating on those days that's doing that.
Yeah, because sometimes the foods that we eat on a vegetarian or a vegan diet can, especially if we're not used to it, it can take more energy to digest, you know, like beans, for example. actually can take more of our energy to digest. So you might even, I don't know for sure, but, you know, you might be feeling lower energy because your digestive system is working harder to adapt to your new diet.
Okay.
Just the theory.
Nicole, the good news is, because you called in, you will receive a free book directly from Rebecca Gould. And Rebecca has some exercises in the book that address these very things.
Right. It will help.
Oh, wow.
There are ways to help with your energy that aren't even food related. So hopefully, you know, I'm sure some of the practices in the book can help you feel more energized, regardless of what is happening with your diet, too.
Yeah, there are some wonderful, wonderful exercises. And a couple of the exercises that Rebecca writes about, I've already incorporated into my private practice with clients.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And so, Nicole, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. I can't wait for the book, and I thank you so much. I'm really going to take this advice and implement it into my life. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Great.
So, Rebecca, stay on the line because Zach, if he hasn't already, he'll get your address so that, and then he'll give that to me off the air, and then we can have Rebecca send you the book.
Okay.
So, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Nicole, good wishes
to you,
dear heart.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. You know, I need to probably open the show a little more frequently to callers because I know listeners are out there, but it's so nice to to have them call in. And the advantage of Progressive Radio Network is that the first show is done live, and so we have this possibility, whereas podcasts don't have it. It becomes a podcast after the fact, but anyway.
Yeah, that was really fun. It brought a little extra liveliness in.
Absolutely, it did. So let's shift gears a little bit because I think this is important. What would you tell women who have sexual trauma or feel sexually shut down? I mean, can your book help them? You have on page 81, dealing with pleasure anxiety, childhood wounds, and brainwashing. And you write so intelligently, sometimes being playful and experiencing pleasure is easier said than done. If you were ever scolded as a child in the midst of or after doing something fun and pleasurable, whether sexually arousing or not, you may have some pleasure anxiety. And I'm so glad you're writing about this because I have seen it all the time over the 35 years I've been doing this work. Pleasure anxiety, because you write, pleasure may feel out of reach or scary. Pleasure anxiety can also result in you turning to food as a safe form of pleasure and as a way to self-soothe. And, of course, people who have a lot of trauma in their history, their amygdala, the fear center of their brain, is often overwired, so they have a lot of trouble self-soothing. All right, so that was a lot of commentary from Dr. Diana here, but What would you tell women who have sexual trauma or feel sexually shut down?
Well, I'd say, you know, that you're not alone, and there's definitely hope. You know, as cliche as that may sound, like, you know, it's pretty common, and there are ways to move through it. And, you know, my book certainly can help to some extent. I take a gentle and introductory, loving approach, you know, to help women feel more empowered and in control. And without, like we talked about earlier, without the pressure of it being extreme or achieving some goal, or maybe goal isn't the right word, but, you know, not to achieve climax, but just to learn how to little by little feel more pleasure and joy and take that power back. And, you know, that also working with a professional might be needed. It also might be enough just to go through something like my book. It really depends on the person and on what the trauma was, depends on the situation, on the extent of the sexual shutdown. So I feel like it's
important. And let me just, I just interrupt here?
Of course,
Because what you say is absolutely true, but as a co-therapist for 11 years, back many years ago when I lived in California, we had two women's sexuality groups, and all of the women that we met weekly, and all of the women had experienced sexual trauma. And most of them started the group, and they weren't having orgasms because it was so difficult to be present and to let go, to surrender. So it's my experience that when you've had significant trauma, that it's pretty important to get professional help with somebody who is able to deal with it, you know, has the training. Because it's one of the most deleterious things that can happen to a woman or to a man. I mean, we have men who are sexually abused, and there's often a little more shame attached to that because sometimes the abuser was another man, and if this boy and then man turns out to be heterosexual, there's added shame. Well, maybe, you know, I brought it on myself. Maybe I'm gay. And there's just all kinds of complications.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you spoke up about that. Because, yeah, I think that it is important to have support. And I'm actually curious to know what you'd advise for women in terms of finding the right person to work with, because what I always say is, you know, make sure that you're working with someone that feels like a good fit and that you trust and feel safe with, you know, but if somebody's feeling really traumatized or shut down, could it be challenging to even find someone that they feel comfortable with? Do you have any advice on that?
I do. I go to conferences at least once a year set up by ASECT. That's American Association for Sex Educators, Counselors, and Teachers, or therapists, ASECT. So if people go to ASECT.com, that's AASECT, so AASECT.com, they can plug in where they are, city, state, and ASECT can give them certified ASECT therapists in their area. And that's what you really, you need to see a trained person. Because otherwise it won't do much good. There are a lot of therapists that won't even, I mean, I see clients, they won't even bring up sex because they've had no training in sex, and oftentimes sex is the elephant in the room. And so that would be my best advice. Go to ASECT.com and find a sex therapist who is ASECT certified, and begin to, and then be a consumer. That is, shop around. Most therapists will give you at least time on the phone, maybe 5-10 minutes, and you can get a sense of the therapist and how well-trained they are, and if you feel like you have a sense of connection with them, that sort of thing. So that's my best advice.
Great. Yeah, and then I'd just add, in terms of working through the multi-orgasmic diet, if you've had sexual trauma or feel shut down, I believe the book is written in a way that, you know, makes this clear, but I'll just say it here too, is that you're in total control of how much or how little you do, and you can pick and choose which practices you do. And so it's a very gentle, loving approach that puts you in control of how much or how little to do, and definitely encourages you to get additional support needed.
Very well said. Mm-hmm. So, Rebecca, how do you apply some of this wonderful, wonderful information in your book? How do you apply it to relating to others, to a relationship?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's really wonderful when women have a strong foundation of self-love and self-knowledge. So going through these practices and learning how to feel sexually fulfilled and vibrant on your own and getting more in touch with your own sexual energy and pleasure without a partner, it can really spill over into having richer, deeper, juicier connection with a partner. And both in terms of what you feel, like maybe having heightened senses and feeling more open-hearted and juiced up by your own practices, but also in learning how to communicate what you want and don't want and what your needs are, that is really helpful with a partner. And also in terms of just feeling really fulfilled and confident on your own, so that when you come together with somebody else, whether you're already in a relationship or dating or even in any type of interaction with people, that you're just coming from a really solid place of knowing and loving yourself and enjoying life and feeling vibrant, and how that just enriches all of your social interactions, whatever part of your life they're in.
I think you said when we last spoke, light attracts light. Did you say that? Or did I make that up?
I don't know. Like attracts like. I feel
light,
like it's definitely
light.
The kind of thing.
Light.
Light?
Yeah.
Light?
As in dark and light.
I may have.
And then the way I express it is water seeks its own level.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's important. If you want to have a satisfying relationship, you need to be the person who has done his or her own work.
Yeah.
And it's a work in progress always.
We don't have to get to a certain point of quote unquote perfection before we can have a good relationship. Yeah, it's a work in progress. And I have heard of people who were feeling, like down or broken, and then someone came into their life and really helped them, and not in a codependent way, but I just think
in general,
it's just really wonderful if we can, feel good and fulfilled on our own and like get to a place that we want to be regardless of, another person in our life.
Absolutely. But then you've mentioned, and I'm certainly aware of others who have done a lot of their own personal work.
Mm-hmm.
And what a difference that makes.
Yeah.
And then to be able to express your newfound confidence and joy, like, for instance, with dance. Well, you express it in your book, which is very powerful, but also with dance and other ways of expressing joy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit, just add on to that a little bit?
About feeling more joy in all of you?
Feeling more confident and that you are a person who can attract another person.
Yeah.
With some confidence.
Yeah.
and the need to have the personal work.
Mm-hmm. You know, what it's bringing up for me is actually how, you know, a little bit more than 10 years ago, that Qigong practice came into my life, Shengzhen. It's all about opening the heart, and how that really transformed me in terms of it brought me out of my shell. It started to make me feel like more of a confident person, a joyful person, a radiant being of light, you know, and love, because of the heart opening. And that there was this feeling of having more confidence when going through life with an open heart and feeling really connected to this vital life force energy and love energy, and knowing how to cultivate that and how to move this energy through me. And that with the heart opening too, there's joy. And that all results in this radiant glow. And that is effective to people, you know, like when you see somebody who is bubbly and joyful and, you know, shining their light, that is attractive. And so it's definitely helpful in attracting a partner, you know, whether it's a love partner, sex partner, business partner, whatever it is, like attracting any kind of relationship or interaction. It's definitely helpful to be radiating, you know, an open-hearted, joyful kind of glow and have that confidence.
And that's what I was referring to, because I remember you're saying light attracts light.
Yeah.
Isn't that tied in with that?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And, you know, kind of a corollary of that is that when you're really in love, it shines out, and oftentimes people are drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's interesting. I was just thinking yesterday about, you know, the idea of being in love always. You know, like it's not even about being in love with another person, but just being in a state of love, and how that's been one of the big gifts of, and, you know, not that I don't maintain it all the time, but it's definitely a gift that I've gotten from my Shengzhen practice, is feeling more in a state of being in love without it being about some personal relationship with one other person, and just in love.
But I suspect, Rebecca, that by doing this practice, being in a state of love, you are preparing yourself for an amazing, truly amazing love relationship, because you're getting ready.
Yeah.
And doesn't that feel like that to you too?
Well, that sounded really wonderful to hear. Yeah, that resonated.
So good.
Yeah.
I've met with you, and I know a little bit about your personal story, and we're not going to talk about that now, but you are so preparing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. What we really want in life is a partner who puts us first, who is loving and sexy and smart and kind and all of these things, and maybe no drama. You know, it's just a wonderful thing to have a partner who isn't overly anxious and where there isn't so much drama and or games. You know, mature relationships, they don't have games. It's just lovely.
Right.
And, of course, you know, the regular listeners know I brag about Brian, my fiancé, and you know Brian, and he's just a wonderful man, and there's no drama in our relationship, and it's just so incredibly good.
Yeah, you two are very blessed to have found each other.
I agree. And I count my blessings every day, and that's the thing.
It's very important to, and I share this with clients all the time, to show appreciation, because many relationships die from emotional undernourishment. That people forget to say what they value and appreciate about their partner. So speak up.
Yeah, I know a couple, I actually don't know if they still do this, but I remember years ago when they first got together, they said that every night before they go to bed, they tell each other at least one thing that they appreciate about each other.
Mm-hmm. See, I think that's such a good practice. It creates good feelings. It draws people closer. And, of course, both men and women enjoy being told they're attractive.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things.
It feels good to be appreciated. And I feel like it feels good, too, to show appreciation to another person.
Absolutely, to show appreciation. Well, I appreciate you, Rebecca.
I appreciate you, too.
Thank you. And how very sweet, that's very generous of you to send a book to Nicole, who called in, and I'm so grateful that Nicole did call in.
And
we'll give it a few months, but I think it'd be good for you to come back if you're willing.
Yeah, it's great talking with you.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. So the music signs the end of the program.
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you again, Rebecca.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. We'll do this again. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay. Bye. My boy getting got